Just a few minutes early today, about 4 minutes early based on the posted time. But if I can jump off a few minutes early, I can get done a few minutes early and get a bunch of stuff done, because in spite of the fact that we're going to talk about all kinds of global events and fucktastrophes today, is the best way to say it. It is that time of year, right? Like, I meant to take my trusty phone and go out in the garage and give you guys an update on the aquaponics cloning / crayfish system today, but I just kind of ran out of time with that. So maybe if I get done early, I can squeeze in a 5 to 10 minute video for you on the progress there. Also, you know, spent all weekend terminating cover crops and getting ready to plant, and got all kinds of stuff going on. So, there are other things that we're going to talk about today, but of course there is one thing everybody's talking about today. And I actually hate when people say everybody's talking about or everybody knows, right? Cause usually it ain't. Right? Who the hell is everybody you're talking about? Well, I understand that it's not an absolute, but even a lot of things I say everybody's talking about, I'm like, I don't even know what that is, and I pay attention. But I would say, like, maybe it's not everybody, but you can use the term that everybody's talking about what's going on with the conflict with Iran. So that will be our lead story today. And I promise this, most people that listen to this, now remember, 51% would be most, will be pissed off by the time I'm done. Because you're not going to get a puritanical view from either side of this issue from me, which you never do. What you're going to get is an analysis of what is likely to happen, what can happen, and why it's happening, and what it might mean on a global scale, which means I'm not going to sit here and say, rah, rah, USA, USA, we can take on anyone, right? And I'm not going to hear and lose my mind like a blue-haired retard shrieking and yelling about the poor Ayatollah family, right? Because I don't give a shit about that at all. I don't give a shit about a lot of people, by the way. It's not just them I'm singling out. So like I said, some of you are already pissed. Oh, well, grow up. You know, that's your choice. You can be pissed or you can grow up, right? When a guy's giving you his opinion and he has literally no power to shape things and you get really amped up about that, it is a problem. But it's not about the guy, whether it's me or anybody else. If you want to see who the problem is in that, go find a mirror and look in it. You'll see your problem staring right back at you. We're also going to talk today about a little bit about the protesters and how protesting the death of the poor Ayatollah, but from a different angle. Like, can we finally admit that this is all professional protesting, that there's people who literally, like, their entire career, they're professional protesters. Not everybody on the street is a professional. Not everybody's on salary, but a whole lot of them are. And it only takes a few to be your true instigator organizers. Because this shit is getting old. A thing happens, and in 6 hours, pre-printed signs marching in the street. Can we at least admit that this is a fucking psyop by people trying to shit on our country? Even if you agree with some of their points, it doesn't matter. The macro is what I'm talking about. And then I'm going to ask you a question. What's the real goal? Is it really regime change in Iran? Like, is the primary goal or the primary objective or the primary motivation? Is it really no nuclear weapons in Iran? Is the primary goal, is the primary motivation? Or are there second, third, and fourth order consequences that are really more what the current administration is trying to accomplish? Now, when I do this, you love Trump, you suck his horse balls or some stupid shit. All I'm doing is analyzing it, and it doesn't mean I'm taking a side. Let me explain something to you guys. I'll probably repeat this analogy again because some of you need it pounded in your head. There are people out there. This is like just a completely retarded take. They get a forecast that there's going to be bad weather, and they're mad at the weatherman for it. I'm the weatherman. Just because I tell you something is going to happen doesn't mean that I wish for it to happen. And it's amazing when you talk about things like the economy crashing or whatever, everybody's fine with that. They don't think you're rooting for it. But when you talk about something they have a vested interest in, they get mad at the weatherman. People that get mad at the weatherman are retarded. There is no other word for it. I'm sorry, I'm 80s Gen X. There's nothing I can do about it. Then we are going to talk about, again, we're going to talk about these protesters, but I also want to give you some stuff from Larry Fink. And I want to sign off saying goodbye to a true American hero who passed away over the weekend. Some of you know exactly who I'm talking about, and some of you are like, huh, what? I didn't catch that. Because this was the shit that was all over the media, and the media has no interest in elevating this man who deserves to be elevated. So I bet you some of you in the live chat can guess exactly who I'm talking about right now. Okay, one of the, well, I'll just leave it at that. We'll see if anybody guesses it, and we'll make sure I don't miss it at the end. Because he's really a great dude, or he was anyway. All right, with that, before we get into it, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. And sponsor of the day number one today is Above Phone. Now, if you don't think you need more privacy in your life, one of my final stories today is what Larry Fink wants for the world, and it was just presented at the WEF. My wife saw it when I was watching it this morning, and said, "Who's that?" And I told her it's Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock. And she switched on enough. She knows who BlackRock is. She goes, "Oh, that's bad." I said, "That's at the WEF." She didn't really know what that meant. And what I explained is when you're there, you're basically preaching to your own choir about what you're planning to do. Now, whether you get it done or not is a different story, but it is basically the annual meeting of all the Bond villains in one place. So you're going to want more privacy in your life. Above Phone is one way to get the best privacy phones, laptops, and tablets on the market. Check them out today at abovephone.com. And remember, when you buy any device from Above Phone, it comes with an onboarding consultation with an Above Phone expert that will help you adapt to using and onboard you to your new device. That means you don't have to have any sort of technology phobia that you won't be able to use these more advanced and more secure devices. Next up today, here's something that requires no technical ability whatsoever other than the ability to point, click, and buy on the internet, which most of you, I think, have. And that is Anton's Land of Biltong at BiltongUSA.com. I'm even wearing an Anton's Biltong shirt today because he was nice enough to send me one. I love Biltong. But I'll tell you, I've got kind of addicted to two things that I think are probably underrepresented in orders from the Saudis. So I'd like you to give these a try if you never have. One is the sticks, S-T-I-X. These are like smaller, thinner, a little bit crispier Biltong sticks. I think this comes from Trim Off is where it comes from in making those nice, bigger pieces that are then sliced into the right shape. If you just stick one in your mouth and chew on it, it's really tough. But if you take a pair of shears and cut into like bite-sized pieces, it's freaking fantastic. Think of it like beer nuts for carnivores, all right? It is just that good. They have a chili and a regular. If you like hot stuff, try the chili. I'm just going to tell you, like, some people say something spicy, and it really ain't, you know, Wendy's or whatever, you know. Like, no, this shit is spicy. It's a red chili pepper embedded into it, and it'll light you up a bit. And so that's one of them. And then the other one are the Calabanazi sausage. I love the Drew Wars, but the Calabanazi, I think it's going to be everybody's cup of tea because it's a little bit fermented. But this is more of like a Middle Eastern, like Turkish, Greek area type of sausage. It's got caraway seeds in it. I think it's fantastic. Next order, maybe put some in. And remember, both Above Phone and Biltong USA do discounts for members of the MSB. So make sure if you order from them, to get your discount. You know, I hear from people sometimes that say, you know what, Jack, I'm just an MSB member to support you. I don't really even use the discounts, even if I do buy something from one of your partners. Please don't do that. Number one, that's part of the value I give you. But number two, it's how they know that it's worth being part of this community. I'll tell you another thing, too. If you order regularly anything that would fit this audience and or you're a fan of their product or whatever, whenever you put an order in the notes, just tell them that that there's a podcast you know about called the Survival Podcast, and you think it'd be a good fit for the program that we have. Just let them know that, and then let me know you did it. Sometimes that goes to nowhere. Sometimes that actually goes to someone who cares. And the smaller the company, the easier it is to generally get to a decision maker for you, because I really want to start fleshing out the MSB some more again. We need to go through and call some people whose codes have expired and become unresponsive, and some are even probably gone from existence. But there's a lot of great ones there. So consider becoming a member if you have not yet the MSB. Just go to the Survival Podcast and click on Members to become a member. You can support the show for about 18 cents an episode and get all your money back and more with the discounts that we have there for you. All right, so let's get into this. Start off with the U.S. attack on Iran. Listen, I have no conclusions in this, which will also piss people off, because a person being open-minded to a situation, analyzing it, and saying, well, here's all the moving parts and here's what could happen before it happens, is often hated because what people want they think they want an analysis, but what they really want is a conclusion that matches their own. Or if they have moral outrage, they want their moral outrage shared. This is the best I can do for you with the moral outrage. No, we should have not started another war, the end, infinity. We should not have done this. I opposed doing this. I said so many times. I've often said I am already opposed to the next war. However, and I ask you to please think about this before you get all pissed off today, my opinion clearly doesn't mean a fucking thing as to what happens in the world. This is why one of my laws of life, what is and what will happen, is more important than what should have or will happen. Okay? You have to focus on reality despite your own ethical problems with it. You can either lose in this world or win in this world, but you will not change it because you think differently alone. You have to have an action tied to your thought. You have to know what that action is, and then you have to do an actual, you know, statistical analysis. Will this action actually matter? So we can speak up and say, no, we shouldn't have done this. But we also have to now say, but we did. So all of that from this point forward goes away. All of that goes away. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think should have happened. And so we got somebody here says Iran had it coming. I'm sure somebody will hate you for that. And somebody will hate me for not saying it exactly that way. And that's okay. Right? I cannot defend the regime of Iran. And I cannot defend anything that the Iranian regime has done since they took over the country in 1979. And unlike a lot of you young people that like to shriek and scream that have no context of history, I lived this history. I remember watching on my TV set, my little four-channel TV set with a fucking antenna made out of a coat hanger that I pulled out of my closet. Because we had cable in the main living room, but there's no way my parents would pay for cable for me. So that's what I had, is a fucking jerk. And I remember watching United States citizens, after a prolonged captivity as hostages, step off of a fucking airplane in Germany. And the Iranian regime is directly connected back to that. This is just the succession of that regime. The regime of Iran came to power by a typical way that such authoritarian regimes come into play, and it's being done right in the fucking United States to you retarded college students right now. Okay? Hey, look, you're being oppressed by this. All this freedom is in your way. You want real freedom. We have to change things. And that change inevitably ends up with the people that participated in the revolution being the greatest victims of the revolution. And that's what happened in Iran. So I am not going to mourn the death of religious zealot assholes who have, in fact, killed a lot of people in the world. But the U.S. has killed a lot of people. I agree. Not who we're talking about right now. Like, these people who died, and I'm not talking about kids and collateral damage and all that. I'm talking about, like, the entire leadership of the Iranian military and state apparatus being dead. Again, I don't think we should have done it, but I'm not going to cry about it now that it's done. Now, there's four potential outcomes here, though. And only by looking at these outcomes can we judge where it goes next. We can all agree or disagree on whether or not we should have. And we can all agree or disagree on whether or not these people being dead is a good, neutral, or bad thing. But what we can't disagree on is what the potential outcomes are. Because there's really only four in the macro. I'm sure you could break each down into micro niches and stuff like that. No, we're not going to do that. Four macro possibilities. Possibility one. Very brief conflict. The United States claims victory and sails away into the sunset and says, we set them back another 20 years, like some orange guy just said like 6 months ago or some shit, right? And it's a fake victory, but a decided knockback of the regime. Okay, that's one. Because that's already happened. That could happen now. If Donald Trump right now said, hey, you know, give it till Friday and we're done. That's done. When you take out that many key leadership roles, and yeah, they have lines of succession. I told you about that last week, right? I have people emailing me. Did you know? Yeah, I said that last week. Every key leadership role named four a four-pronged line of succession. But when you move those people up, there's a couple things. They don't know what the fuck they're doing yet, is one problem. The other problem is, hey, being in charge is kind of nice. Maybe we should talk to the people bombing the fuck out of us to make a deal so I can now have a position of power that's secure. Right? So that's one possibility. We the short duration, 1 to 3 weeks, and we go away and we say we did it, but we didn't really do it. There's also the potential for a broad regional conflict. And what I mean by broad regional conflict is not other nations getting involved, but other nations getting involved on disparate sides. So that would be something like, you know, half of the Middle East is on the Iranian side and half is on the U.S. side, and they're fighting each other and then potentially pulling in assets from China and or Russia. Okay. I'm going to give you my percentage beliefs on this when I get done listing them. Okay. And then there is a complete change of government. The Iranians take their nation back. And Iran in 2027 looks more like Iran in 1977 than 1980. Okay? That's another potential thing here, right? And then you have Iran fully defeats the U.S. and drives them back. Because there seems to be a huge majority of retards out there on X and other social media platforms right now that thinks that's what's actively happening right now. And I even threw a number on that that's probably too fucking high. But it just because you never know what can be pulled out of a hat, I gave it a probability of success. So here's my probabilities. This is where you get mad at somebody estimating the probabilities of an outcome. And I don't know what to tell you if that's you, right? This is where I get the email. Dick sucking asshole, and you do, bro, you got a problem, and again, it ain't me. Brief conflict, U.S. claims victory, nothing really changes. I think that's a 60%. 60% and now. They have to add up to 100 for this to make sense, right? So keep in mind, I'm balancing it against the others, okay? So I think 60% will, that's what's going to happen. I think there's a 15% chance of a more broad regional conflict. And I'm going to go back through and explain why I have these numbers here in just a minute. I think a complete change of government, the Iranians take their nation back, is 20%. And I want you to understand when I say it's 20% likely to happen, it doesn't necessarily mean that the new government's going to be any friendlier, any better, or much different than the existing one. Technically, this also already happened because now there's an interim council controlling Iran. That would be a new government. But it's a new government like when we have an election. It's that kind of a new government. So it's not really a new government. It's continuity of government. But I'm talking about like some sort of actual popular uprising and some shift in the direction of the country, more in the direction the people of the country want it to be in. So we're told what they want, right? Because we don't know what they want. We don't live there. And then Iran defeats the U.S. and drives them back 5%. I think that's way too high. But I'm trying to be reasonable that there could be something I don't know, right? And we got World Survivalist again popping off, right? Nobody is on Iran's side. They just attacked 10 different countries that will not forget that. All right, so here, this is one of those things where people are very sure of themselves, and I'm not picking on this guy, okay? But he's very, I can tell already just by a few comments, he's very, very sure of himself. Okay, so first of all, if you're going to spout a statistic, get it right. It's 11 countries, one more than you said. But then what part of those countries did Iran attack? Did they just, like, you're being told on TV, they bombed a school. They just started bombing schools. That's the thing. They targeted all the schools, right? They bombed banks and old people's homes. Now, they attacked those nations attempting to hit U.S. and successfully hitting, by the way, in a few instances, U.S. military installations or assets. In other words, we have some places that aren't really a base, right? But they're like a command center and things like that. So that's what they actually targeted. So the countries are not pleased with this, but they also do not feel like potentially they've been directly attacked. So just don't be so quick to be so sure about this. Just, and when you see like the videos of like all the Iranian people cheering in the streets, you notice they're all like in Canada and the United States, though there's some in actual Iran cheering, but people like, how bad does you have to suck for this to be the way that people react when you get killed and when your own country's attacked and you're cheering like this? Oh, you think the blue-haired American fucking left wouldn't be doing that shit in the streets of Los Angeles if freaking some foreign power nuked fucking Washington right now? Of course they would. Of course they would, and they'd consider their guys they lost martyrs for their cause. It's just a different type of fucking religion. So don't get sucked in too much. See, I told you I'd piss everybody off. The pure, hardcore, red, white, and blue America, fuck yeah, you're pissed. And your peaceniks, you fucking special libertarians, you're pissed too. Why? Because realism is never going to fit your fantasies. All right, so here's why I think the brief conflict is the most likely scenario. Because we have a track record. We have a track record of doing it. We have and Trump has a track record. Go in and fuck some shit up. Really good, by the way. I mean, it is effective to a degree. Claiming this massive victory by a lot. Huge. Really, really big. Trust me, I know big. And this is the biggest ever. And everybody knows it, right? Okay, so he has a track record of that. And our country has a track record of going and fucking shit up and then walking away and going, oh, we could never have seen what was going to happen after we acted. But I'm beginning to wonder about this. But here's my biggest reason I think this is what happens. I think the most positive outcome that I have on my list is a new government that people take over. I would not consider that one to have happened if the new government that the people put in place is pretty much like the old government that we got rid of. And I just, you know, when I look at the last election in Iran, now we all know the Ayatollah's supreme leader, that whole council has the real power. And the democratic side of things in Iran doesn't really have any. It's like it's more the WWF 1985 than our Congress is. Like, it's really neutered, can't really do shit. But it does tell you how the people that live there think. In the last election, they elected mostly hardliners. So that means the people that now, okay, maybe people that know it doesn't matter aren't willing to risk their necks in an authoritarian regime to vote against the opposition. Against the current power. I don't know, but that's why I doubt about that. So I think that even what might initially look like number three will actually be number one. And that's why that percentage is so high. Number two, it creates a broad regional conflict, 15%. The only reason I give it that much of a potential, and that's 85% that will not happen, right? There's so many factions and so many things in the Middle East. And we tend to think in a very sportsman, bread and circuses, you know, team-minded mindset here in America. Meaning that, you know, like, we're from Texas, or, you know, like, it's Canada and the United States, or like, it's Russia and the U.S., as though these places are homogenous, and they're not. But they must be homogenous because they're all a bunch of Islamists or whatever. No, there's factions upon factions upon factions inside these individual countries. So while the governments of these 11 countries that have had U.S. presence in them that were attacked may stay loyal-ish anyway to the United States, it doesn't mean that they won't have internal conflict problems. Now, the one thing that heads that off and pushes it, even despite that, pushes it back down to 15%, all of those governments are more than willing to violently put down any such insurrection. So unless it's a highly organized kind of shadow insurrection, I don't know that can happen. But if one of these countries somehow, like smaller countries but with real legitimate military capabilities, is able to take over their government and turn that around and maybe create other alliances, who the fuck knows? Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Like, who the fuck knows with the Yemenis, right? Like, there's all kinds of crazy shit that can go on. We got Pakistan and freaking Afghanistan in conflict with each other right now. And we've got India and Pakistan constantly threatening to nuclearize each other, except they do their little dance, the little parrot dance with each other at the border every day to keep cool down the situation. So there kind of is a regional conflict, but does it spring over because of this? I think it's unlikely, but possible. Number three, a complete change of government. The Iranians take their nation back. I only give that 20%. If I believed 80% of Iranians were like, fuck these Ayatollahs, I want my country back, I want it to be Persia again, I want the old flag, I want it to be 1975, not 2025, I would say that the probability of it happening right now with the current military U.S. operations, if the population was that one-sided to it, would be near 100%, like 95%. I just don't believe that. I don't believe all the Iranians that they roll out on the news to tell us how everybody in Iran wants a different country. Because if you really had that many people that committed to a cause, then 10% of the population can't really stop it. I mean, you think that, well, that, look how they control us in the United States. But no, it's actually my point. Most people are very comfortable with the way things are in the macro. They have their own little silos of bullshit they complain about. But God forbid, you know, who just said this? The McRib is back. If somebody takes away their McRib, they lose their fucking mind. Right? If they can't get fucking avocado toast, they have a fucking conniption. But in the end, they're not willing to trade everything that they do like for the few things that they don't like. They want student loan forgiveness. The right is like, go fuck yourself. Nobody actually wants a solution. But everybody's actually kind of complacent with the way things are. Because the people in this country were not complacent. We have something they don't. That's 50 million motherfuckers with guns. And yet nothing happens. Because we are overall, we might be angry. We might be miserable in some ways. But overall, in the macro, we're content. And we all have our little places we've fought for. And those of us who are doing better than, you know, otherwise, right? Like we're at least above, you know, the poverty level. We actually live a decent life. You're asking a lot for somebody who fought hard to get there to give that up. Don't think that doesn't exist in Iran. Don't think everybody's dirt poor living in a shack in Iran. Don't think everybody in Iran is just like, hope someday, even though we call him Great Satan, the U.S. comes to save us. Don't believe that shit. Don't believe Iranians are not patriotic to their own country, including the one run by the shitheads that are running it right now. Don't believe that. Because it's not true for everyone, and we don't know what the percentages are, and no one with any real insight into that is going to tell you the truth about it. Because they have no value. It takes a lot. And one thing you have to realize is like the people that came here from Iran, and they're like, well, I could tell you because I'm from Iran, but their family left in 1984. It's a few years. You haven't been home. You see what I'm saying, right? Shit changes. The other thing you have to think about is that when you look at men of fighting age, just think of that term, men of fighting age. Those are the people that fight the wars. For all of the bullshit about feminism and the women can be just as lethal bullshit. No, it's men, especially in that country, that fight and not only fight the wars, but are the enforcers of those who order the fight. The main purpose of the Iranian military is to control the Iranian population. Okay? Those guys do fairly well compared to the average. They have an extreme disciplinary policy for their military. And what is fighting age? What is a fighting age male? 18? 35? I mean, I'm not saying you can't be out there and be a badass at 45, but what is your prime? It's 18 to 35. Best I can do, like Rick on the Pawn Stars, right? Best I can do for you if you want to go higher is 40. Trust me, if you're not 40 yet, when you hit 40, shit starts breaking down. Your extended fucking warranty runs out. Okay. So if the oldest people who are the prime fighting age and prime age to actually violently and physically control others are 40, and today is 2026, and this regime took power in 1979. How many of those people ever lived under anything other than what they have right now? Oh, that would be none. So every single member that's a police officer, some form of enforcer, soldier, Royal Guard, any of that shit, all of them have always lived under this regime. And the old fuckers, like in their 70s and shit, right, that are like top commanders, they were part of the takeover. That's how they made it all this way. So now you're going to try to explain to me how this nation that's completely unarmed as a populace is going to rise up because we blew their shit up. I want to believe that. And I'm going to tell you, this is something that's really going to upset some people. But remember, I'm using the most important, shortest, big word in the English language, if, to lead it off. If somehow 4 weeks, 6 weeks of this shit happens, there is a massive political swing in Iran and some form of government takes over that looks even 25% more like 1975 than today. If women can go outside, even with a thing on her head, but they don't have to be in a hijab anymore. Like, if people can, like, if they're allowed to, you know, have anything approaching equal rights with men, right? It's just approaching it. Like, to get to the level that America's women were in like 1935, right? You still can't get a credit card without your husband's signature, but you can go outside, right? You can't show all the skin, but you can at least show your face and your arms, right? If that happens, anything approaching that, and if that new government also says we have no nuclear ambitions and we will sign a treaty as such with the United States in order to secure support from the United States economically, of course, right? Trump will be seen as a fucking hero. Now, I gave it a 20% chance of happening at all, and then I just gave you the most perfect way it could work out, at least in the short term, looking that way, having those optics. And if you're mad that I said it would make Trump a hero, you didn't hear what I said. I didn't say it would make him a hero. I said he will be seen as a hero. It will be impossible politically to overcome that, because the people that will still hate the guy and still scream and shriek and yell that we killed the Ayatollah, right, the man could cure cancer in their baby by laying hands on him and they'd still hate him. So they don't matter. They're out of the equation. The people that are diehard Trumpers, the MAGA crowd, they don't matter either because they're never swaying. The middle decides the future of a country politically when it is a republic in the form of a representative democracy, which we are. And those people are going to go flock these Democrats. They're wrong about everything. And there's a lot of voters. There's a lot of boomers who lean left right now pretty hard. But they're like me. Even though I'm not a boomer. Call me boomer all you want. You're wrong. Math says so. But there's a lot of those boomers, especially your youngest boomers. And you're older than me, because the only reason I noticed shit is I was a weird kid. I paid attention to shit at 8 years old that most people don't pay attention to at 18 years old. Okay? But there's a lot of them. They lived through this Iranian crisis. There's a piece of them in the back of their neck. It just climbs up the hair when they hear this. Even if they don't want conflict, they remember what happened. They remember those people getting off the plane. They remember the misguided person who didn't know what the lyrics of the song meant, right? Singing a song and clapping their hands over their head. I don't know if you want to guess what song that was, right? They remember all of this. They remember the failed rescue attempt. They remember the white hot anger. Here's an example. That's it, Mick. You got it. You got it. You got it. All right. They remember the white hot anger of the hostages who were interviewed on shows like 60 Minutes, who kind of said, well, here's what happened, and they were pretty cool all the way through it. And they said, so now that it's over, what do you think we should do? And these men and women said things like, oh, if it was up to me, I would just lay waste to the whole place right now with a fleet of bombers. Okay, they remember that, and they feel it. You can be angry, but they feel it, right? They feel it. And then there's also this comment right here from Alaska Wilderness. I remember the old Iran. Yes, and a lot of those remember the old Iran. Go look up on Google Images. Type in something like Iran 1976 and click on images. It looks like any typical city in America at the same time. In some ways, maybe a little nicer. That's how quickly it happened there. And the lesson from that is don't think it can't happen here. But I'm going to say it's only 20% chance. Iran fully defeats the U.S. and drives them back. I'll give it a 5% chance. Why? Because you got to give them a chance. I think if you actually take it seriously that you're kind of stupid. There's a lot of people. Iran is handing out a massive punishment to America. They blew up their aircraft carrier. Like, guys, you blow up an American aircraft carrier, and you're going to, like, half of your cities are going to be glass. I say on social media, we can't just nuke them. I said, who the fuck say anything about nukes? You don't think we can make glass without nukes? You don't understand anything about American weaponry. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the attack philosophy being used in Iran today. I think people would think for the United States, this is very new because we're using F-35s that are stealth. And of course, the joke is now, and it does make you wonder how effective these systems are. Or did the Chinese and the Russians sell the Venezuelans and the Iranians the shitty version of their supposed stealth detection radar? Because the thing is now, how do you know the Chinese stealth radar works? When it explodes, that means there's an F-35 somewhere, right? So we think all this new super tech is really the doctrine that this war is being prosecuted under. What if I told you, Neo, that this philosophy, because what I don't think people realize is the missiles of today are just modern artillery. Now, you go back to World War II, and they had the Germans had the 88s and whatnot, and they were, everybody's lobbing fucking artillery at each other and supported by armor, right? That's artillery, right? Yeah. Okay. This is just modern artillery. We could just shoot a lot further and a lot more accurately with a lot bigger things. It's artillery. It's artillery-based warfare. And the tactics that are being used in Iran right now have been military doctrine since about 1943, and it was created by General Patton. And this is why you see things like when the Tomahawks go off the ships and they have the places where cameras catch them and they're going by and there's like fucking 50 of them in a row, but they can all go autonomously and then they all swing out and come back and hit their targets. And they have four battleships or four ships of some sort launching them all at the same time. And the planes are launching them all at the same time. Well, it's just overwhelming force. It's shocking. You don't understand the timing. The timing is designed so that the impacts are simultaneous. It's not boom, 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 boom. It's boom. That was developed by Patton as a counterattack against Rommel in 1943 in the North African conflict of World War II. It completely fucked up the Germans' entire game. The first time we actually fought the Germans in North Africa, we got our asses handed to us. 6 weeks later, the entire thing flipped when Patton took over. And so if you think back, all the times you've heard the term shock and awe and all, like they always made it like it's something about new. It's just taking the newest tech and applying the oldest philosophy that has been effective for the United States at it. You know who else does it? Russia. Russia's really good at it. Really, really good at it. And they didn't develop it. They looked at us and said, oh, okay, we'll do that. China, we don't know if China does it. And the reason we don't know if China does it is because they haven't actually really unleashed hell on anybody ever for all the talk of how dangerous they are. But here's what I want to get to. What's the real goal here? Is the real goal Iranian regime change? A new, prosperous, freer Iran, right? Did I say Iraq? I didn't mean to. But a new, prosperous, freer Iran, right? An Iran that is a good global partner, an Iran for the people, an Iran that looks like 1975, 1976. Is that the goal? Did we do it all for that? Is the real goal just Iran is this close to getting a nuclear weapon, which, by the way, I'm also old enough to remember when Iran was this close to getting a nuclear weapon in 1996. You want to do that math, okay? And somehow they're always this close, but they never get there, right? So were they close? I mean, I'm going to be honest and tell you, I don't know. I have to give any president, whether it's an orange man or a potato salad head or whatever, or one of the Bushes or a Clinton or an Obama or whatever, I have to give them all one piece of grace, and that is they absolutely know things I don't know. Now, I also have to counter that with, and what they're being told may not be what's really going on, because there's people with agendas all the way through. You don't just go talk to the president of the United States. When the president of the United States receives an intelligence briefing on a situation, the people that actually collected that information are nowhere near the president, never talked to him. The people that collected that information from those people are nowhere near him. And this goes through these multiple levels of the deep state, whether you believe in it or not, that will craft the narrative to fit their agenda when they put it in front of, as George Bush II called it, the decider. But I have to say that, like, that's all the man can base it on, no matter who he is. And that it's clear that that would mean they're privy to information we're not. So I don't know if Iran really might have actually been. But I was just told by the president not so long ago that they wouldn't have a nuclear one for 20 years. So I don't know. I don't know. But I can look at the second order effects, the third order effects, the fourth order effects. And I know that when a decision like this is made, there is a primary objective, but then there's a SWOT analysis done of, well, what are the other effects? A lot of times we get them wrong, but we do look at them and say, if we do this and these things happen, what does it mean? And when I do that with Iran, there's two nations that immediately pop up on my radar mentally, Russia and China. And this is very bad for China, and bad on one hand and good on the other hand for Russia. So let's examine how that works. China gets a shitload of oil from Iran. Iran needs China's money because Iran has no money without oil. They can't do a fucking thing the world values other than make oil. That's it. Their biggest customer is China. China gets something like 14%. I might be wrong about that number, but about 14% of their oil from Iran. Iran gets most of its money that comes into the country from China from selling them oil. That is fucking not happening right now. China is cut off. China was also getting an assload of oil from Venezuela. They're also not fucking getting that anymore. So China's oil supply is severely pinched. There's only one place for them to go. There's only one place for them to go to make up the surplus. Russia. That's it. And Russia benefits from higher oil prices. It is a socialist country. The economy is highly vested in the income of the nation itself, more so than just the individuals within the nation. So this war, on one hand, is terrible for China, and it's actually good for Russia because Russia is going to sell more oil to China at a higher price. And Russia, really, when oil goes down below $65 a barrel, Russia starts to hurt. At 50, they're on their knees. So this is probably going to result in like $90 to $100 a barrel oil. Yay, gas pumps. Yay, cheap gas. Wait a minute, where'd that go? Right. At least for a time. Benefits Russia, hurts China. Even as the supply lines even out, if the U.S. can make a deal with Iran basically saying, look, we'll buy all your fucking oil and not pump some of ours for right now. If you'll sell it to us cheap, we'll buy the fuck out of it. But just don't sell it to China. It really pinches China. It pisses them off, too. And there's not much of a fucking thing they can do about it. Now, how does it hurt Russia? Well, one way it hurts Russia is Russia's been buying a shit ton of armament, specifically low-cost but very effective fly-by-wire drones from, you guessed it, Iran. Ooh, shit. Wait a minute. That's a problem for Russia. Now, if you go over to RT right now, and I got to say that RT, which is Russia Today, usually actually has more honest journalism than Fox News or CNN. Be pissed. I don't care. It's true. In fact, a lot of times when people criticize the source, right, an ad hominem attack on something published on Russia Today, they're actually quoting another media source. They're just saying, these people said this. Oh, you can't trust them in Russia. Well, they're quoting the fucking New York Times. It's just the New York Times buried it in the back and they've made it front and center. But right now they are doing some bullshit, you know, basically repeating Iranian claims as if they're true. They're losing their shit. But there's something else you need to know about. And it's very hard to really understand how powerful this is against Russia if you don't know this one thing. This happened literally hours after the attacks on Iran and their results became evident. Russia to accept U.S. security guarantees for Ukraine, Presidential Office Chief Budanov says. Okay. Well, hey, this is just your Russia Today. No, this is the Kyiv Post. This is Ukraine. This is Ukrainian news. Could it still be a lie? Sure. It doesn't look like it, though. Do you know what? You know who's not talking about this? The United States press. That means it's probably true. See, if it wasn't true, the United States press wouldn't ignore it. They would specifically say it's a lie because it actually makes Trump look pretty good, and the U.S. media doesn't like that. So the fact they've ignored it, and it is on a lot of international sources with this story. So the United States attacks Iran, completely fucks them up. Russia's like, well, there goes our cheap supply of infinite drones. they're really close to trying to close a deal anyway. The one real hang-up Russia has had here, yes, they want some land they don't currently have. And trust me, they would settle for what they have to get out of this fucking mess. But now you cut their drones off. And you raise the price of oil. If they can get out of this now and sell oil at a premium for a while, it puts their country in a pretty good state. And for all the talk of Putin being a dictator and a madman or whatever, he's actually a smart fucking guy. Didn't say he was, like, you could be smart and not good, right? Notice all the Bond villains are fucking smart. You ever notice that, right? Or you notice, like, well, there's a joke made about it one time on that show, Big Bang Theory, right? About how many of the villains have advanced degrees, Dr. Octopus and shit, right? Like, you can be smart and be bad, right? So I'm not saying good or bad. I'm just saying he's smart. And he's going to do what makes the most sense for him and for his country. That's what he's going to do. And right now, getting the fuck out of this, and there's another thing unsaid here. Do you know what Xi and Putin said to themselves? The minute it came across their screen and they saw all this shit blowing up in frickin' Iran, holy fuck, he did it. Holy fuck, he actually did it. There is something to your enemies thinking, mostly I can trust this person to do what they say when they make a deal with me, but they're kind of a loose cannon in some ways, and if we don't do things the right way, who the fuck knows what they're going to do? In other words, you can't bluff, you can't feint a punch in a boxing match if your opponent's not afraid of your left, right? I can't do a little left jab that's a fake left jab that's not really going to land. If the guy that I'm trying to do it to knows he can hit me with that fucking left all he wants and it ain't going to hurt. But if I can smack the fuck out of you, if I can sting you with that left, and if I sting you with it once, then that feint starts to have a effect, right? When I throw that feinted little left jab, it's not really a jab. Your focus moves that way and I can come in and underneath, right? That's what I'm talking about here. Now, it's an analogy. Don't get too literal with it. But every nation on this planet that sees themselves as an adversary to the United States just got a wake-up call that as long as this motherfucker's around, which whether you like it or not is at least 3 years, if he says he might bomb the fuck out of you, there's a chance it might fucking happen. It might not be bullshit. See, when Biden said something like there's a red line, when Obama did that, nobody gave a fuck. Nobody cared. He ain't going to do it. I know he ain't going to do it. Now it's like, this motherfucker will do it. And there is power in that. I'm not going to say it's good or bad, right? I'm not judging it. I'm trying to be an umpire today, and I'm trying to be more an analysis than even an umpire, right? Instead of balls and strikes, like, this is why it was a ball, and this is why it was a strike. The umpire already called it. I'm just analyzing the call and saying, yeah, you got the call right. No, you didn't get the call right. You know? I think that is the larger thing. This is more about the global situation than the Iranian situation. It was the way for the powers that be, the military freaking idiots in this country that want to blow everything up. I mean, I bet John Bolton was covered in his own ooze, if you know what I mean, on Saturday afternoon, right? And he's probably phoning up Lindsey Graham. Lindsey, get over here, man. Let's party, right? Like, these kind of people love this shit. And there's a lot of them in our government. And there's a lot of them in the Department of Defense. And there's a lot of them in the United States military, especially higher levels. They like to blow shit up. That's their. And you know who else likes to blow shit up? The people that make the weapons. One of the things people right now are saying, but we're going to deplete our weapons supply. Oh, no, we're not. Why do you think they jacked the U.S. military budget up $500 billion last year to pay our troops better? They didn't get that kind of fucking raise because they knew they were going to have to do this. So fucking Boeing, Lockheed, et cetera, right? These motherfuckers are like fucking in one of those games where they put you in a tunnel or like a box and the fucking money flies all around. Except they're in a glue suit. They just stand there and it's thousands of $10,000 bills sticking to them. And it's a big box with a lot of those motherfuckers in there. So there's a lot of horsepower behind this military projection of the United States. Because if you're going to take that doctrine and that approach, you have no choice but to not only resupply, but expand your military arsenal. So there's one of the things going on. If you don't like it, okay. You don't have to like it. You can have your own opinion. You can start your own podcast. You can go tell anybody you want, see if anybody cares. All I know is this. Be very careful over the next week or two and believing too much in the story that comes out of the media that it's going our way, that we're winning, that the Iranian people are on our side. Just be careful with that belief. I want to believe that. I'm going to tell you right now, if 4 weeks from now, that 20% chance ends up being 100%. If there really is a new government in Iran, if I see videos, not just one momentary one-off when they run out in the street and they're dressed in normal clothes, with women walking around and shopping and shit in normal clothing. If I see that, I'm going to give Trump his due and say, fuck, he did it, because I don't think it can be done. And when somebody does something I don't think can be done, even if I don't like the way it was done, I'll acknowledge it, that I was wrong. I don't think that'll happen, but there's a lot of bad shit that happens that I predict. And when it comes to happening, and I say, fuck, I didn't want to be right about this. You know, I wanted to be wrong. I want to be wrong about this. I want to be proven wrong. But you have to be very, very, very careful when you assess a situation, okay, where you want an outcome. Because you are predisposed to lean toward. That's why I do not gamble a lot at all anyway. But if I'm going to bet on a football game, I'm not betting on a football game where I have a clear favorite. Because I'm always going to mentally gymnastic myself into my side. I can't bet against my side. I can't bet against my Steelers. Come on. No. You can't be that way. All right. Moving on. We're going to talk about some other stuff here now. Some quick stuff. Number one, if there's one thing I really do want to convince some members of this audience of, I know a lot of you already know this and already believe this, but I want to convince at least some of you guys that what you're looking at when you see all these protests is not real. That these people are in fact paid. They happen to be out there today protesting the death of a freaking murderous asshole, right? Like, these people are religious zealot assholes. They are freaking, I can be like, man, we should invade them, but they're dead. Oh, okay. That's how I feel about this. I don't want to play this because the audio will be of no use to the people. Like 90% of people only listen to the audio of this show. But right now we have people, this is in California, right? We have a few handwritten signs. We have these signs, right? We have these signs that are like professionally printed, and there's hundreds of these people marching in the street. These people were marching in the street about 6 hours after everything started blowing up. ICE, and they got ICE must go with it, right? Trump is a fascist. Stop the war. Like, these people are just instantly ready to go like this. Okay, this is not, and there's a lot of fucking boomers in this audience here, right? And a lot of freaking young retards that are probably getting $50 a day or something like that is peripheral, like, extras in a film. And we got some mask cards still going on here, too, right? Look at here. Karen is here. Karen in the blue, right, is here to protest. And this is all organic, right? This is not real. And I'll tell you how you know it's not real. When you see these huge crowds, if they were organic, you would know more than a couple people that do this. Somebody would have asked you by now in your family or your friend circle, hey, you want to go out and protest? Or would have told you they're going to do it. Now, I know a few of you know a few people. But what I'm saying is the vast majority of this audience would know several people that are going out to protest next week or some shit. The other side of this is normal people don't sit around waiting to protest. Like, when you get an organic protest, there's a buildup to it over a few weeks, right? Like, there's things that happen and then more, and then somebody has to put organizational structure. These are instant. They're like rent-a-mobs, which is what they really are, rent-a-mobs. And you cannot, for one second, give these things any credibility. If you want to make any kind of judgment like I tried to make today, you cannot take the fact that they exist into account. And we should be asking something that we're not asking. They keep talking about it, but nobody actually does anything. Who the fuck are the people funding this? Now, we've had recent blue ribbon committee in the Senate to figure, you don't need a blue. I figured this out. I've done whole shows on it. when the No King things popped up, I showed every connection to every company, country, organization, where all the money comes from, who feeds those, right? How it all tracks back into the Soros Foundation. We all know who's doing it. But the government's like, oh, we can't figure it out. We can't figure it. It's almost like some people in your government like this. But if you want to analyze things, if you want to understand things, like the mood of the country, this is what I'll tell you. The role of the media in this country is to convince you that the opinions of 15% of the people are the opinions of 85% of the people. That's their goal. They have their opinions, their things, their agendas that are so fucking ridiculous. A man can be a woman and what have you, right? Like, their opinions are so ridiculous. There's no problem with women competing in men's, like men competing in women's sports. But even the concept of, like, in a lot of situations professionally, there are jobs that just women are not right for. Now, you'll tell me, I know this woman and she does that job. She's one of the best at it. And I will tell you, on the bell curve, you're out at the 1% on the fucking end. You're out on the wing. Right? We have to think and speak in generalities and then make allowances for the unicorns. If she can do it, great. But creating this fake environment that creates all these girl bosses that don't fucking do anything, and I'm sorry, it does. And the people that are most offended by it should not be men, it should be women, because they're fucking using you. They're convincing you that you don't need no man and you're better off being a girl boss. You have a fucking email job that can be done by fucking AI now. And you have these women that are hitting 36, 38, 40 and realizing I'll probably never have a kid, bawling their fucking eyes out when it actually hits them. I've seen videos recently where some of these women that say that, somebody puts a fucking baby, like a 2-month-old baby with that newborn baby smell in their arms, and they start fucking crying. That's what we've had stolen from us. That's what they've really taken from us. And all this bullshit, fake protesting, causes to back, all this belief that you're really the side of right is nonsense. It's nonsense. And it's the only reason they even cover shit like this. It really is. It's the only reason it's worth covering, because you can't stop it, but you cannot participate in it. Now, I got one more thing for you as we wrap up today. I am going to play this one because the audio is enough, but I'm just going to tell everybody who it is before I do it, because a lot of people looking at this guy wouldn't know who he is. Some of you would know instantly who he is, but it's Larry Fink. What a great name for that guy. The dude's name is literally Fink. He's a Fink. Like, you could say he's a Fink and it's okay because it's really what his name is, right? You can't make this shit up, right? He wants a one global blockchain to control all the money and all the spending. Now, let me tell you what that does not mean. That does not mean a Bitcoin standard, because you can't do what you're about to hear him say using Bitcoin. It's impossible. It cannot be done. When he says he wants a global blockchain, he means he wants one that they, not necessarily him, they control. Here, listen to this shit and, you know, act accordingly, because this is the goal that these people have had for a very long time.
I think the movement towards tokenization, decimalization is necessary. It's ironic that we see two emerging countries leading the world in tokenization and digitization of their currency. That's Brazil and India. I think we need to move very rapidly to doing that. We would be reducing fees. We would do more democratization by reducing more fees if we had all investments on a tokenized platform that you could move from a tokenized money market fund to equities and bonds and back and forth. We have one common blockchain. We will, we could reduce corruption. So I would argue that, yes, we have more dependencies on maybe one blockchain, which we could all talk about. But that being said, the activities are probably processed and more secure than ever. I think the movement towards.
So let me just, for those of you that don't understand what that all means, explain to you what it would mean if we actually did that. You know how you hear people talking about central bank digital currencies all the time? And generally, when you think of a central bank, you're thinking of the United States of America's central bank, or Russia's central bank, or India, or Brazil, or anybody's central bank. You're not thinking about everybody's central bank. So what he's talking about here would be a central bank digital currency that would be global. Now, That would require a global government. That is the only way it could be done with a global government, because if you were to run it individually, you couldn't have the United States and China running central bank balance sheets on a common blockchain without both risking the other one figuring out how to manipulate things. Because it ain't Bitcoin. It ain't like Bitcoin. It wouldn't be like Bitcoin. They want the ability to turn accounts on and off. Now, how they would actually implement that, I don't know. But I do know that when we look at track records, we can usually find a clear path about what somebody's going to do next. Now, this isn't about Larry Fink or BlackRock. This is people in power, period. They will often do shit like the following. We're back to that left jab feint, okay? But in a different way. They'll float an idea that is like what would cause them to jizz all over themselves, like complete and total victory. But the goal is actually under that. And that way they can get that lesser goal accomplished, and the people that resist them feel like they prevented the bigger goal from happening. What does that look like? That looks like a country like the United States on a CBDC. That looks like same thing for Russia, for China, for Germany, or the whole EU. And then your settlements between the central banks are on independent blockchains, but they're swapping back and forth. But the individual nation states now have access to control the economy completely. Down to the fact that Jack Spirico's an asshole and he says some things we really don't like, we'll just shut off his fucking money. Or down to the leftist retards take over with the real Green New Deal and say everybody gets a carbon allowance and we're going to let computers do it, so it's fair. And you can have your money, but you can't spend it once you exceed your carbon allowance, unless it's on carbon neutral or carbon zero going for the rest of the month. So you have a monthly allowance. Once you exceed it, the computer automatically shuts you off. You can call the office to complain, but it'll be next month and turn back on for the next month's spending before you actually get a resolution. That's the kind of shit they're talking about. We don't want you to have a gun. We'll just not let you spend your money on a gun. And if somebody does take your money on a gun and we find out, we'll turn that money off so nobody else can use it. There are some other things that could be done. We feel there's too much savings, so we're just going to tax savings at 2%. We don't want too late. It's already gone. And I am not even getting started with the shit that these psychopaths could do if they were able to get their populations onto this type of a currency regime. And there's only one place I know to go that you can still move money across space and time at the speed of light and know they can't stop you. And, of course, that's Bitcoin. What about all the other cryptos? There's no second best. There's one apex predator per ecosystem. And in the financial ecosystem, there's only room for one fucking apex predator. If you don't like what I had to say there and you don't want to take my warnings, HFSP. And if you don't know, ask your buddy what it means. HFSP. I've been preaching this since 2013, and everything that everybody has argued back in my face over it, the only thing it's done is prevented people. If you've been listening that long, the only thing it did was prevent you from becoming a millionaire. That's all it did. All your arguments against me prevented you from becoming a millionaire. If you had done what I said and invested $50 to $100 a month starting in 2013 and just held, you would be a millionaire today. You would. You don't want to be. You don't have to be. Will it ever be that easy again? I don't know. I still know it's the best place for surplus capital to be swept. And I know it's the one place, like, they can say whatever they want. They can try whatever they want. They can do anything. They can't stop it, because if they could, they would. It's too late. The T-Rex escaped the island and started breeding, and you can't stop it. The apex predator is there. That is the apex, the T-Rex of the financial system. Do what you want with that. But even if you don't want to take my advice, then you better start thinking about things of value that you can acquire that are able to be bartered and traded. Silver and gold, if that's what you want to do. Dick, I think it's better. Now, I think they're both good. That's why I have both. I advise you to do both, but if you don't want to, you don't have to. But it also is about lowering your required cost of living to live the way you want to live. So all the homesteading shit, all the things we talk about, producing your own food, I'm not going to tell you. You have to ask your friends. They're aliens. Aliens are really cool. Okay. Aliens are really cool. You have to ask. Maybe somebody will tell you. I'm not telling you. Somebody just told you. They're right above you, actually. They already told you. You could just put it in Google. It'll tell you what it means. It's funny. Anyway, every once in a while I have to be like that just for fun, right? Just messing with you. I'll go ahead and tell you. It means have fun staying poor. Have fun staying poor, because that's what many people are choosing to do in many ways. See, I think we actually need to expand HFSP out of the Bitcoin space. I don't want to worry about growing any of my own food. Have fun staying poor. I don't want to own a house. I want to be a renter forever. Have fun staying poor. Gold and silver are stupid rocks. Have fun staying poor. I'm just going to spend my money. I ain't worried about retirement. Have fun staying poor. Yeah. I'm going to drive the really nice brand new car. I don't care if it's $900 a month. Have fun staying poor. No matter what your income is, have fun staying poor. And I know that sounds toxic. That's the terminology used to describe people who say that out of the Bitcoin space and whatever. But sometimes the truth feels very toxic to the person who is not yet ready to hear the truth. So that'll wrap things up pretty much today. I do want to do two things. One, I'm going to give you my item of the day today, tell you how you can support the show, and I'm going to come back, and I've got like three comments. I'm going to flash them real quick, comments and questions. That way, if you asked one and you don't see yours pop up here, then I don't have yours, and you need to redo it exactly the way they did here. You know, when I'm by myself, I don't catch them all, but there's number two, and here is number three. Those are the three comments that I have. 3, 2, 1. And if you don't see it, I don't have yours. If you want me to comment or answer a question that you have, go ahead and put it in now while I take care of the item of the day. All right. So today's item of the day was one of the best selling items of 2025. And that's interesting because I don't think I found it until about August of 2025. It's the Olatons TO58 Folding Titanium Scalpel. There's also a T10 that's a little bit smaller of a blade. This one, though, is the bigger one. It carries a lot more like a really little micro pocket knife. The blade length is almost 3 inches. It's a scalpel, so it uses standard surgical blades that you can buy a big box of for very little money. Every other part of this is made out of titanium. It does open one-handed with a flick. It is a liner lock tool. It can be carried. You forget you're carrying it when you have it like that. And since it's a scalpel that uses surgical blades, it is always going to be scalpel sharp. That's kind of the way that goes. And since the whole body, the spring mechanism, et cetera, is titanium, it's going to last. I've now been carrying it since about August, so that's close to 6 months. I love it now more than I did when I got it. This is one of those tools. You remember I used to recommend the Gerber EAB, and I used to say, like, it's the best thing, but it's not great. Like, it's the best thing for something like this, but it's not great. I wish it could be better, but it's the best, like that, right? This is what I had in mind, something like this. This compact, always have it, always razor sharp. And this way, when you're doing things that you really need a sharp blade for but are going to make them dull pretty quick, and you have your EDC knife, and you don't really want to have to sharpen your knife that night or that week or whatever, where it's kind of dirty, gross, sticky, nasty work or something like that, you can use this. It's also great for precision work, like skinning small animals. One of my good friends, you guys know him, Chef Michael, he's big on rabbits. As soon as he saw this, he ordered them. He's like, it's perfect for skinning rabbits, especially if you're trying to pelt them out so that hide can actually be tanned or something done with it. Instead, like, it's honestly, if you want to skin a rabbit, and you just want to eat that rabbit, there's really fast ways to do that. But the hide's pretty much gone by the time you do it. But there is a value to always having that super sharp blade. Even if you usually carry it, if like a knife gets a little bit dull and I need to get something done, I need a really sharp blade, having a secondary blade is great. And they're not expensive, and they're just a fantastic tool. So if you've Kenny says great for pulling hides from game. They are. In fact, even big game, these little scalpels, some of that work that you really want to do if you're trying to maintain that hide, having that small blade like that, the super razor sharp, you can get in there. And then when you're in the middle of a job like that, you don't really want to sit around and sharpen knives when you're in the middle of a job like that, right? So like what I'll do a lot, I use the butcher's knife, the flexible butcher's knives, like from Victorinox, I recommend in skinning. and parting out game and stuff. But I'll have like three knives that are all sharp when I start. And that way when a knife gets dull, I just put it down and pick another one up. With this kind of thing, you just swap the blade out. It takes a couple seconds. So it's really a great tool. And there's DFW Michael, exactly who I talked about. He said the small and large models are great for processing rabbits. So, yeah, see, I didn't make it up. There he is. He's right there. And congrats to him and his wife, Teresa, because they're about to finally make their big move to Tennessee. So that's cool. And it'll be pretty close to where John Willis is. I'm low when I'm going to be able to get up there. But, hey, I want to also one real quick. Their tickets are sold out. So if you're coming, you're coming. If you're not, you're not. But Living Free in Tennessee, Nicole Sauce is having her workshop in April. I will be there, and I'll be presenting on some new stuff. And I'm going to just throw this out right now just so you know. If you're coming, I'll be putting out more information on this. But I have just harvested a major truckload of groundnut, APS Americana. And these are the LSU improved varieties. You get like as big as your fifth. Most of what I'll have available are not that big because they're for planting and producing. But I'm going to be doing a video of an aquaponic system that just went ballistic with these things. I'm having to actually reboot it for the new season. Just one little 7-gallon bed. I still got to pull more out of it. And I've got about 20% of the volume of the whole bed in tubers that I've already removed. I don't know how they fit in there. I might be bringing some of those for sale up there. And I might take pre-orders or something, so I know how many to bring. It'd be a good way to get them because they're sold out everywhere. Okay, now let's go ahead. I think I gave you guys enough chance to ask questions or make comments. We have seven. I'm going to roll through them really, really quickly for you. Scott King, 4499, says, all military advancement is just how can we throw a rock further and faster and more accurately? That's almost perfect. Let me fix it for you. All military advancements is just how can we throw a bigger rock further and faster and more accurately. So not only do we want to throw the rock further and be more accurate, we want the kinetic impact to be larger as well. In many situations, sometimes we actually want a very small reaction. And I'm going to say the capability of U.S. weaponry is on display, and it makes the first Gulf War, where everybody sat at home going, oh, my God, we can do that, look like a joke. I saw one picture, and it's four concrete aircraft hangars that are designed to protect the aircraft inside them. Each hangar has a hole directly in the center, and those are penetrating munitions that just blew right through that concrete and exploded, and they're in a perfectly straight fucking line. So that's accuracy. And those were probably launched from an F-35 30 miles out or off the deck of a ship in the ocean. Again, I'm going to tell you that I do believe that part of the goal here is just to tell our adversaries, look what we can do. I'm not saying it justified. That's what I'm going to get hate mail. I'm telling you what they think, not what I think. Okay. BC Squared Farm, kicking the can down the road for the U.S. dollar fiat money industrial complex period. I think based on when that comment came in, I was still talking about the Iranian war. Yeah, maybe. This doesn't really fix our monetary issues at all. It doesn't even fix them for a time in of itself. More control over relationships with Russia and China. Yeah. That's a different game, I think. That's a different game. This is about military power projection. Now, that I will tell you that the validity of the dollar is enforced by our Blue Water Navy. But that's the case whether we do this or not. But yes, when people say our money isn't backed by anything, no, it's backed by our military industrial complex. That's what backs the United States dollar. The fact that we can fuck up anything anywhere in the world whenever we want to, if you piss us off bad enough. Again, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying it is. It's a thing. Like if I told you, if we're sitting in a room and I have five of you tied up in chairs and I have a 44 Magnum, I can kill all of you and there's nothing you can do about it. It doesn't mean it's a good thing. It doesn't mean I think it should be that way, but it is. And that's something very hard for people to get their heads around at this point. Question, how will the attack on Iran harm BRICS or will the attack not harm BRICS? Man, I really thought BRICS, that's one of my predictions that hasn't actually worked out the way I thought. I don't know where BRICS is going. However, if anything, it might. This is what's going to determine BRICS, in my opinion. Can we peel Russia off China? Because I'm give you a prediction here. I think that's the next play. Russia gives in to the security force demands, whatever they are, because it'll probably be European security forces, and they're fucking useless anyway. So why do you care? And this whole idea that Russia's goal is to take all of Europe is stupid, and it's never been the goal. And Russia really didn't want this war in the first fucking place. If we didn't stick our fucking nose in it and fuck shit up in Ukraine, it would have never fucking happened. All right? So if you can get that conflict ended, the diplomacy between Russia and the United States accelerates from there. We're going to make, by the end of this, Ukraine's going to be a Kleenex in the waste bin of history. We're all this supposed we care, we don't care. If we cared, we wouldn't let that many people fucking get killed. We wouldn't let that country's population be decimated down to almost fucking nothing. That would have not happened, but it did. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think this really hurts BRICS, but I think BRICS has its own problems. Let's put it that way. It's not getting the momentum you would have expected at this point. And it's largely due to a lot of maneuvering by the United States to maintain global hegemony of the currency. Russia would be way better off with tight, useful, open trade relations and diplomatic relations with the United States than with China. And if you can do that, then China is extremely isolated. And if there is a threat other than us, it's them. Russia's not a threat. I know your TV told you to. I know you grew up watching Red Dawn like I did. I know that if you're my age, you hid under your fucking desk because you thought they would protect you from a missile or something because your teacher said it would. I understand all that. But Russia has never done anything other than right up against its own fucking borders when shit's been going the way that it didn't want it to go. And we can't talk shit about that when we bomb shit all over the fucking country that never got anywhere near us. I mean, all over the world that never got anywhere near us. So if they can peel, and I think that's the next move of this administration. And I'll say it again. If he can pull off a new government that's in any way an improvement over the old government and a belief that the nuclear threat is gone and peel Russia off China, Trump will go down as one of the greatest presidents in American history. Doesn't mean it's true. I'm telling you what will be said of him in historical context. Unless, like, it immediately blows up the other direction after it looks like it's that way. That doesn't mean that Rachel Maddow and all the retards in the streets are going to turn around and sing his praises. I'm talking about, like, normal people. Because normal people, all they pay... So this is something you have to understand when I make these claims. You have to understand that most people are not like you. Right? They're not like you. And what I mean by not like you is they're not informed. They're not critical thinkers. They don't think through this. All they know is the end result. And no matter how opposed they were to a thing, if the end result gives them what they think they want, they're happy. Right? That is a normal person. That is how a normal person is. A normal person in our society now. Now, I don't think this is innately normal as a human. I think humans evolved to where we are because of critical thinking. Because of our ability to look at things and go, if we put A and B together, we create C, and that's better because, right? Or if we don't act now, then when this other thing happens, it'll be really bad. So let's prepare for it. But that's all critical thinking. But that's why the lights go out for fucking 2 days and people are starving. It doesn't make any sense. There's places in the world you're lucky if you fucking eat once every 2 days. You're fucking fat ass. With a freaking fast food place and a freaking convenience store and a grocery store and every other fucking corner don't have enough fucking food in your house the last 2 days. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. So I don't know. I think BRICS is a 50-50 shot right now, where I would have told you 5 years ago it was an 80% chance it would succeed. But I don't think this directly impacts it. Comment, Tucker and Catherine Austin Fitz discuss the real reason we bombed Iran. Very interesting. Yeah, but you didn't tell me what they said. Tucker's one of these guys. I agree with him in some extreme positions about half the time, and some other times I just think he's fucking nuts. But I always try to remain open to he knows things that I don't know. Catherine Austin Fitz, generally when I've heard her speak, I kind of dig what she has to say. JC Solutions, do you think protesting is useful? Is there anything Jack Spiergel would actually go protest for? No. No, because I don't think it's useful. I think all you are is a cog in a machine being controlled by other people in any protest. If Joe Rogan, right? Joe Rogan reaches, what, like 50 million fucking people or something like that. If Joe Rogan came up with a kind of a based thing to protest for, and we had 10 million fucking people go out in the streets for a week and protest properly, not fuck shit up, not block highways, not set shit on fire, I don't think it would move the fucking needle one fucking inch. It might change the way people speak, but changing the way people speak is easy. Changing the way people act is hard. Tell me you've never met an addict that didn't say they could quit when they wanted to and that they were going to quit next week, and then they didn't. I mean, addict to anything, gambling, drugs, alcohol, porn, I don't get, whatever people get addicted to, video games, whatever. Tell me you never met somebody that didn't say, starting in the new year, I'm not gonna. January 3rd, they're gonna, right? So changing speech is easy. Changing action is hard. If Trump did everything he said he would do, we'd be a lot better off right now. The peace president, no new wars, right? Where's that shit at? Right? Where's the Bitcoin reserve? Keep talking about it. You know, what's his name? Fuckface came out again recently. We're exploring revenue neutral ways to add to the Bitcoin reserve. Bitch, you said that in fucking February last year. Fucking shit or get off the plot. Get on with it. Right? So, no, I don't think here's another way to look at it. Where protesting is effective, governments never allow it to happen. Look, I do believe the claim that several tens of thousands of people were killed in Iran for protesting. I do believe that just a few weeks ago. Do you know why? Because in that environment, it can lead up to a popular uprising that seizes control of the country. But if you think that your senator, your congressman, the president, some bureaucrat, your governor, anybody gives a fuck that you stand in the street holding a sign? And the bigger thing is changing the opinion of the populace. So the only way protesting works is to create a false narrative using the protest as a manufactured cog in the system. In other words, what they did with ICE. People didn't see people protesting, ICE sucks, and then say, oh, I'm against ICE. No, by instigating conflict and making the average moron believe that what ICE does is go attack protesters, and that's what ICE operations look like, and creating this entire combative false narrative, they were able to move the opinion of the country. So unless you want to protest Saul Alinsky style, which is a light version of what I just said, because Alinsky was not about violence, it doesn't matter. So if you mean to actually protest, no. If you mean to create a great big giant economic cabal that leverages protesters as one piece of their agenda, oftentimes where the protesters don't even know what's really being done, and they're just a dumbass tool in the system, like Iran in 1978, when the populace and the students rose up and took their country back from the evil Shah and immediately ended up underneath a fucking Islamic freaking dictatorship that wasn't what they signed up for. Do you think the average Iranian college student that participated in that protest that actually became a rebellion, do you think they're like, man, what we need to do is make sure all these chicks that are with us are wearing black burqas, right? And if we do anything that upsets the government, they'll kill us, right? We need to bring back stoning. Like, that's what we want. You think that's what they wanted? So the only time protesting tends to be effective is when it's part of a larger play, and usually it does not benefit the people who protest. Can you show us your scalpel? Not right now, man. Maybe later this week I'd have to leave the desk and go get it. I don't have it on me right now. I put on a new pair of pants this morning, and I did not put all my stuff in my pants when I did, because all I did was walk down the hallway. Ernie Ferguson says, have you looked at the Texas bill gold and silver legal tender for everyday transactions? Will debit card fully implement in 2027? I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I see it being the same problem Bitcoin really has. It's not about speed and ease of transaction. It's about tax treatment. And I don't see how, if I hold money in the form of silver, gold in the Texas Reserve Bank that they have planned, and I, let's say, have $100 in my account, if you round numbers, and silver and gold go on a tear again, and they go up to like 125 when I spend that, how the IRS, the federal government, doesn't turn around and say, but that was a $25 profitable transaction. And the problem is this makes accounting a fucking nightmare, and trying to even do your taxes a fucking nightmare. And so unless they can skin that, I don't know that it will really. Now, if the plan is eventually to create a Texas dollar backed by silver and gold, because that would be constitutional, by the way. Because the Constitution does not say that the federal government has to use silver and gold. I know a lot of you believe that. You are wrong. It doesn't say that. Trust me, I read it. I looked. It's not what it says. It says the states may not coin money from anything other than silver and gold. Now, if they can prove reserves, it would in fact be constitutional. Issuing a note against a guaranteed verified reserve would be. And if they did something like, we're going to back, you know, have sufficient backing that we're going to make basically a stable coin, like a Texas dollar, that is always, that we always have a reserve in excess of the total number of dollars issued. The problem with that is the speculators and the globalists of the world would be very quickly to let it fully implement first, and then short the fuck out of both metal markets and drive the price down and try to upset the wagon. So unless that would come with Texas secession, I don't know that it has much chance of succeeding. And with that, I want to wrap up for good. I know maybe somebody else asked a question or something, but I got to wrap up and go. Again, I'm trying to get the show back into like a 1 hour, 30 minute hard cap, at least on non-interview shows. I just want to recognize somebody from the world who passed on this weekend. Colonel Bo Greitz, Green Beret from Vietnam, the most, or at least one of the most highly decorated soldiers that's ever served. He was instrumental in talking things down at Ruby Ridge. He's always been a liberty leader. He had some initiatives that were successful and some that weren't quite so successful. But I think that most people that know of Bo and his work would say he was a good man. Even if you didn't agree with him, it was because he just disagreed with you, not because he was a malicious man in any way. He believed in America. The America that I believed in when I grew up as a kid was Bo Greitz's America. And he has passed away. I don't know why, if it's just age and wear and tear on the body, or if there was something acute. I was not privy to that. I was just made aware of it this morning, and I didn't have time to look into it before I hit play. So I want to say, Bo, we salute you. Thank you for your service and for the example you leave behind. I will catch you guys tomorrow. Okay, I'll take you up on the knife review later in the week. Dude, I already did the review. Like, literally, that's what this is. See that? There's a whole review there. A whole review. Like, I actually explain everything about it. And it even has a video, right? Where you can see it. So I'm not going to give you a review. I just said I would show it to you. Anyway, I just want to remind you guys, we got John and Nicole tomorrow for the first Tuesday of the month coffee chat. I'm sure we'll dig more into Iran, a lot of other things going on in the world, and talk about homesteading all. If you've never been to the live stream, now we do go at 9:30 Central for that show, mainly to fit into John's schedule more than I and Nicole, who have a lot more flexibility that way. But consider showing up and be like today. Be active. Ask us questions, man. We love in that show to be real-time responding to topics that we had no fucking idea anybody's going to ask. And even if it's like something like, I don't give a shit about that. Nicole, I run it as an episode on my podcast, but I defer to Nicole. I'm in charge of shit all the time. So if I get a show a month and I can just go, here, you're in charge, I'm going to do that. And so she runs that. So she'll take all those topics and throw them at me and John and answer them herself. And we would love to have you show up for that. Again, first Tuesday coffee chat. Hey, tune in with a nice cup of coffee, because Nicole and I will have coffee. Who knows what John will have. But yeah, tune in, be part of it, and thanks for tuning in today. Just run you round. They said you should have a house the American way. Dollar
down a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.